Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I am super happy to have with me today Ross Simmons, the coolest cool himself, to talk about content. Today we're actually going to talk about communities and using communities to build your audience and grow your audience and grow your business. So I've known Ross for about a year now. We've gotten to hang out at a couple conferences together. I think the first time we met in person was MozCon. Was it MozCon last year? Yeah, I met at MozCon last year, 2016, and then hung out at Searchlove back in February in San Diego, and then hung out in Minneapolis. And Ross and I went and got dinner and old fashions together like the night before the conference, and they're what, like $16 old fashions or something like that. It was crazy. But we had a fantastic conversation around communities and promotion of content. We were talking about Quora at that time, which was awesome. But I wanted to have Ross on, and so we're going to talk today about not content creation, but actually how do you find the audience for the content that you're creating, and actually creating content for those audiences as well. And not just on your own platform, but on other platforms as well, in niche communities. So Ross, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're up to these days?
Definitely. Thanks for having me on, John. I'm excited to kind of chat with you, and I hope your audience can get a lot of great insights from this. So a little bit about me. I'm a digital marketer by trade. I dream in pixels. It's been something that I've done for many years. I've always had an itch to be online. I started my first blog when I was in university. It was all about fantasy football. And then eventually I started to write about marketing, and that kind of took off. I've been on Twitter since the days of actually using Twitter handles like the coolest cool. So I've definitely been on there for quite a while. But these days, the majority of my time is focused on helping my own brands as well as my clients' brands kind of tell their story online through content and seeding that content into communities that are relevant to them. So I operate my own brands, which would be things like Hustle and Grind, which is an e-commerce site, Crate, which is a SaaS product. And then through Foundation, my marketing company, I also service brands ranging from your startups, SaaS businesses, to Fortune 500 companies trying to leverage content marketing to generate leads and tell their story.
Nice. So when you're kind of like me in that you have your own products that you run and companies that you operate, and then you also have some clients that you work for. What's the inspiration? How does that inspiration work? Like, do you do stuff for your clients and you use it on your own brands, or do you test on your own brands and then do it on your clients? Like, how do you think through that?
Yeah, so it's definitely a test on my own brands and then use it for the clients. I always have been a big advocate, we talked about this before, of experimenting with different channels and trying new things and then using that insight that you gain from those experiences to kind of guide your best practice and your authority in the industry to kind of do things that are innovative with your own clients. And that's really something that I've embraced for the past few years. So I definitely like to experiment on my own brands, try different things. And then once you get a few quick wins, you can share those insights with your customers, with the industry as a whole, and everybody gets better as a result. One thing that we've recently been doing, I've started to actually hire and build out my team, and the training process requires them to kind of spend time experimenting, creating content for our own brands. And then once they've gotten comfortable and I can see that they are able to like deliver, then they move over to client work. So it's been a great process. It's kind of worked for me to kind of with the fantasy football side and then eventually working with clients. And it's kind of a philosophy and an approach that I've kind of trickled down into my team itself.
Awesome. I like that. I think a lot more agencies would be served well to have their own like websites and such they work on. And actually, I know there are a bunch that do now, like agencies my friends have started, that have their own platforms or their own like, you know, websites, content sites or whatever. And they teach their junior people there and then they move them over to client work.
It's smart. It makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I will probably replicate that in my own business.
There you go.
that's super cool. So today we're going to chat about communities. So, and I saw you speak, I've seen you speak on it a couple times. You spoke on it in Minneapolis, MozCon. Right. I think you spoke on it at Searchlove. but so the audience we're really, you know, talking to today is, you know, I'm thinking more about like the owner operator types, right?
Right.
So people that have like started their own business, maybe they're a real estate agent, you know, in Denver, or they're a contractor, up on the far east regions of Canada where you are.
Right, exactly.
So like these are the people that we go to conferences, you know, and meet, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm a real estate agent, I'm not an SEO, or I'm not a content person, you know, I'm a decent writer, but I'm trying to learn more about how I get more reach to my audience.
Right.
Let's start from the beginning. Tell me, like, when you talk about communities, what do you mean?
So when I talk about communities, I'm talking about a group of people with a central focus and a central interest on a specific topic that have gathered around online to kind of have a discussion around that topic. So if you look at the internet, it's it's a lot of different groups. And if you kind of recognize the fact that everybody is living in their own bubble, everybody has their own groups that they live in the social media world. I'm a part of the fantasy football bubble. I'm a part of the marketing bubble. I'm a part of the barbecue bubble. I'm a part of all these different bubbles, the old fashioned bubble. Like I'm in all of these different bubbles, and these are different communities that I'm a part of. And every single person is like that. Like if you think about that line from Shrek, we're all like onions and we all have these different layers. Mm. I think that we all have different layers of communities that we're a part of. And in many ways, those communities that used to go from us meeting at a local rec center and sitting around and talking about our favorite book or talking about sports, it is evolved into an online world where people are gathering on Stack Overflow to have discussions about biology. People are going to Wattpad to talk about fan fiction. People are going to Facebook groups to talk about becoming a vegan. Like people are having these niche conversations amongst other people who are passionate and interested in these topics. And those communities offer opportunities for brands to kind of get in there and tell their story if you're willing to put in a little bit of work.
Totally, totally. So let's talk about that for a minute about brands and there being an opportunity there for brands. So maybe this is just me, but you know, I read and obviously I'm in the marketing bubble as well, and I read about like, oh, how your brand can have better conversations, you know, with their customers. And I kind of sit back and maybe it's just me being cynical, but I'm like, I don't want to talk to a brand. Like, I don't want Expedia to engage with me unless I'm asking them for help, right?
Yep.
But you know, that's more thinking about like, you know, I tweet something about travel and they're like, oh, have you checked out like our travel section? It's like, yeah, you're freaking Expedia. But at the same time, there's stuff like, you know, I'm also involved in like the credit cards churning community, right? So like earning points to be able to take like awesome flights to anywhere in the world for free, you know, based off of what you're spending and getting new credit cards, and you can do it in smart ways. And then I look at like, you know, there's people like the points guy and boardingarea.com and, you know, 1 mile at a time and communities like that, that like if a brand got in there and was like, you know, writing, like if United got in there, like United is my airline for better or worse, but like if they got in there and they were, you know, had stuff on the points guy, like I would read it and would be happy about it. And that I guess would be a conversation. So
exactly
that and spitball on that with me.
Yeah, so I think that's essentially the idea, right? Like everybody, I think the big transition that brands need to recognize is they need to go from this big, heavy brand to kind of the individual level. So like when I was a kid, my dad always used to talk about back in the day, when you went to a barber, you went to the barber who knew your name. You didn't go to the barber because they had the big ads, they had the big billboards. You went to the barber who you knew you would have a great conversation with. They only took cash. They're going to make you look fresh, but you were going in there because you had a relationship. Businesses and brands have to go back to that. And I think a lot of the best ones are starting to, where they're letting their people become their ambassadors and go into these groups and go into these communities and have the dialogue. Like if you look at the sneaker culture and the whole movement around Nike and Adidas and Reebok, the entire community is built off of small groups. There's groups of runners. There's groups of people who are interested in the hip hop style sneakers, people who are interested in CrossFit sneakers. And these brands are now investing in their people to go into these communities and build relationships, write articles about why runners should be using certain shoes, share blog posts about different Ironman races that they should be running. Like they're providing these communities with value, and they're doing that as individuals rather than as saying, I'm Nike, it's I'm Ross that happens to work at Nike.
Right, gotcha. So this is different from like influencer marketing.
Exactly. It's completely different. This is as the brand going in and being authentic, being transparent, and having a layer of empathy, not going in here to sell, but going in there to add value to the community and then getting that relationship, which leads to a sale down the road. So if you're running a real estate company, you should be going into your local buy and sell group and not just sharing your listings. You should be sharing content that's saying, look at all the great events happening in our city this weekend. And then when you're sharing that, people are going to start associating that value that you've added to the community with your brand. And then ultimately, if they land on your website and you have a forum that's going to give them more information, it gives you an opportunity to do remarketing. And we could talk about that stuff for years, but like that's where the value comes from. You add value to the community first. Once the community sees you adding value, that value gets associated with your brand and with your name. And that just opens up more opportunities for you down the road.
Totally. Totally. No, that 100% makes sense. There's a, it reminds me of the old adage of, you know, a CFO asking a CEO, like, well, what if we invest in like in training our people and they leave? And the CEO goes, well, what if we don't invest in them and they don't?
Exactly.
Right? So like, I think about that when it comes to brands, because obviously there's turnover of employees, right? But if you give them ownership and they're happy, like they're not going to leave.
Exactly.
So exactly. It works out well for everybody.
Right. It's true. And at the end of the day, if you get these people into these communities early on, it doesn't matter if they end up leaving. Like at the end of the day, the goodwill has been established. Yeah. They're going to put up a post as long as you don't like mess up the relationship. They're going to put up a post at the end of their term with you as a company. And they're going to say, hey, community, thank you so much. I'm actually leaving this company. I have a new employee who's going to be jumping in here and they're going to be our community ambassador. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for the great few months that I had with you. Call it a day, right? So you can have a smooth transition. It doesn't have to be an ugly breakup.
Totally, totally. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And then they can take those lessons and take them to their next company. And they're also an ambassador that's gone out and done it. Yeah,
exactly. And the reputation will last longer than their time with the community. So the other benefit is that they're going to have a good relationship with you as a company, which ultimately is going to be good for your recruitment efforts down the road as well.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Distilled has done that, right? There are a lot of us there that, you know, we were consultants for a number of years, then we've all kind of moved on and, you know, started our own businesses and all that. But like we all refer work there. We're all still friends.
Exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
like they just have this huge network of, you know, director of acquisition at Etsy and, you know, running my own company and Phil, who's like the video guy and, you know,
you're people sponsoring with the lanyards.
Right.
And like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they made some money back from me. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. So let's take it for a minute and get a little bit tactical. So, you know, let's run with the like, there are two different ways that we can go. One is, and I'd like to kind of look at both quickly. So one is, you know, talking about like online companies, like e-commerce companies, right? So like you have a shoes site, right? So let's say that you own a shoes website, right? Yeah. You're a sneakerhead and you're like, you know, you love like, I don't know, Nike Max Airs or something like that. Air Maxes, Max Airs? I don't even know which one it is. I'm obviously not a sneakerhead. But I wear shoes, so it's all good.
Right, there you go.
Right. So like, so you have a, you know, a niche site around like, you know, Nike shoes, you know, and obviously you're up against, you know, store.nike.com and, you know, Zappos and whoever else, you know, sells Nike shoes, like the big, you know, the big brands, you know, but you're like, you know, you're a fanatic. You love these shoes. Yeah. You love everything about the culture, you know, the lifestyle and all of that. You know, where would you start with going ahead and, you know, finding these audiences online? Because that's obviously not a physical location. We'll talk about that in a bit. But where, when you, if you got into a site like that to work with, or you were starting that site, where does your brain go?
So I have two places that I go right away. The first place that I go is Facebook, because I think at the end of the day, I forget the exact stat, but there was like 9 million or something visits to Facebook groups alone like last quarter, something insane like that.
Okay.
Just to groups. Like that's not the Facebook as a platform. That's just visiting groups.
Right.
So when you think about that type of a metric, Facebook groups is a great opportunity for anybody in the e-commerce space, especially if you have a niche like sneakers. So what I would do is I'd go to my search bar on Facebook and I type in sneakerheads, and then I'd find a handful of different groups that are sneakerheads talking about sneakers, trading sneakers, running raffles about sneakers, and I would start joining them. And then when I start joining those groups, I'm going to first study what's going on, how people are having conversations, what people's dialogue is like. I'm going to learn from that, and then I'm going to start to contribute with value. So once I've done that, once I start contributing with value, it's going to be things like, hey, folks, I know everybody's been looking for this rare pair of Nikes. I happen to have one. Check it out. Happy to kind of sell it and get it off my hands.
Right.
Or if there's a new Yeezy that's getting released, hey, I think I can get 5 Yeezys. If anybody's interested, let me know. I'd be happy to hook you up.
Yep.
Those are the types of opportunities that a group would offer you. The next step that I would take would be going to a channel like Reddit, going to whatever subreddit there is. I don't know what it is off my top of my head, but it's probably our sneakerheads or our sneakers.
Probably,
you go to that subreddit. You're going to sort the content by the top posts. Then you're going to look at what the top 20 posts were in that subreddit, reverse engineer what it was that allowed that post to get to the top, and then create content similar to it. So if you find that there was one e-commerce brand that a few months ago wrote a blog post and it was like the most rare sneakers in Adidas history, you're going to take that same topic and you're going to apply it to Reebok. You're going to apply it to FUBU, you're going to apply it to Fila, you're going to apply it to every sneaker brand that you can think of doing a very similar post because you know the sneaker community is going to love it.
Gotcha, gotcha. And so you basically like, so give me an example of like, give me an example of a piece of content that you've reverse engineered for someone that you've seen success with this.
For sure. So I'll give an example from like my entrepreneurship side with Hustle and Grind. So I wanted to connect with entrepreneurs. I knew that entrepreneurs were using our entrepreneur, the subreddit. Mm-hmm. So I go in there and I sort the content by the top post. This was like 3 years ago. Okay. When I did that, there was a few posts at the top that were a little bit different from the typical, like just dropping a link, sharing in content, driving some traffic. Yep. There was one gentleman who ran a beard company,
Beard brand.
They had this post on Reddit that went extremely viral, and they did a few things. One, they kept the post native to Reddit, so the text was directly baked into it.
Yep.
They embedded their images using Imgur. They were very transparent with their numbers, with their figures, with their sales pricing. And the tone was extremely humble, where they were saying, thank you so much, our entrepreneur, for giving me so much. This is my way of providing value back. I've learned how to launch my business through this, that kind of thing. So I noticed all these trends. So when I seen that, I was like, okay, I need to get to the top of our entrepreneur. How can I do it? I want to talk about growing an Instagram following, how you can do that. I also want to create a post that talks about how to build a freelance business. So I went into our entrepreneur. I put up these posts that were very much Reddit focused. So it was built on the Reddit platform. I didn't write a blog post on Medium and then seed it in. I just wrote it directly into Reddit. I was very transparent. I told people, this is how I got shout outs. This is a screenshot of the type of message I was sending. When it came to the freelancing post, I took screenshots of FreshBooks. I uploaded all of this content, and I did exactly what he had done from a beard brand perspective, but applied it to the freelancing side to sell ebooks for Hustle and Grind.
Right.
And from the Instagram perspective to kind of build up the foundation brand for the consulting side of things. So from there, it allowed me to kind of just take insights from somebody else's success, apply it to my own, add a unique spin, and then have similar results. Since then, I've been on the front page, I think like 15, 20 times with different content. So, and it's just like, again, following that model, look at a different niche, look at a different subreddit, reverse engineer the top post, and then create something that kind of applies the same psychology and fundamentals of that content, and you'll be able to find some wins.
Totally. That's unbelievable. What's really interesting to me there is that the founder of Beard Brand, right? So like it is a person, but like this isn't like r/ beard oil or something like that, right? Like this is, and I find that kind of thing fascinating. Like it can be kind of hit or miss, right? But like I was watching a video about, I was watching one of Ramit Sethi's videos this morning where he's talking about like, he actually wrote an email live. It's like a 30-minute video and he wrote like one of his marketing emails. They send like 6 million a month or something like that. And he's an incredible copywriter, but he started off talking about like, he tells stories, right? And it's not like, talking about like, something that happened like at work necessarily, but he's like, if you're trying to come up with great copy to send like to your audience, go to drinks with your friends and then write your emails, like tell those stories and write them like you're telling that story to a different set of friends that weren't there.
That's interesting. Makes sense though.
So it's kind of the same thing there, right? Cause like this guy isn't talking about like, oh, here's my beard oil and this is like what it can do like for your beard, right? Like I just trimmed my beard this morning. So, I'm thinking about
fresh.
It.
Thank
you.
Yeah, fresh.
My wife and I made a deal that if I trimmed it, she'd get TSA pre. So, that works. And it was getting long. Ramit is basically talking about being interesting, right? Like this guy, the founder of Beard Brand, which like, Rand, kind of talks about them all the time. Like, really cool brand for those of us that have beards, but like this is him, the founder, telling the story, right? But it's also the perfect audience for his company, right? It's like a good like early adopter audience.
Yeah.
So how do you think about finding those, finding those audiences, right? I mean, you can't just tell people like, oh, be interesting and be interested in things, but like end of the day, people like that's not actionable, and a lot of people aren't very interesting, I think.
It's true. Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things. Like, I think you have to start by talking to your existing customers to figure out what's unique and interesting about them and try to find a relationship or some type of connection amongst all of them. So it's very likely that he was able to connect the dots of saying the people who are buying this are interested in kind of just like their own personal growth because they're entrepreneurs. And they want, if you want a beard oil, you clearly care about your looks a bit.
Right.
So entrepreneurs probably care about the way that they look because they are going to always be on display. They're going to be talking to people. They have to have a certain type of aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So it recognizes very clearly, okay, that's a place where my audience is going to be. I think that it all starts with that. Like, it starts by talking to your customers, talking to the first few people who actually buy your product or who are walking in your shop, and getting an understanding of what they're interested in. You can be a real estate agent and then take a position where it is, I'm only targeting families. I'm only focused on that young family that's going to buy their first home. And then you create content around that narrative and around that story. You find a very specific type of person that you're trying to create content for, and you own it. If you look at my blog posts, very often I'll write a blog post like five headline ideas that are short of work, 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 with a reference to Rihanna, because I'm targeting the millennial, the young CMO who's early in their career, somebody who's trying to kind of shake things up, who's going to understand that reference. And that's intentional. So I think that you have to kind of recognize who it is you're trying to speak to and be laser focused with that. And when you do it, you can find great wins. I do think that that whole concept of reverse engineering what other people are reading is a great approach too. Like, you can use tools like BuzzSumo to go into these different media channels that people are reading, type in the URL, see what the top articles were from a certain website, and then you can start to create stories that are similar and aligned to that message. So if I'm a real estate blogger, I'm going to go to realtor.com, I'm going to plug them into BuzzSumo, see what's the top post that realtors posted, and then apply that to kind of my approach with the content I create next.
Totally, totally. That makes sense. I wonder, do you know of any tools that are like, I mean, we're almost talking about affinities here, right? So like, if someone is thinking about buying like their first home, what are these other like demographics and what other things they're potentially interested in, right? Like, if they're buying their first home, but they don't have kids yet, they might not be thinking about schools, right?
Right.
But maybe they're thinking about like bars and restaurants or something like that.
Right. That's interesting.
So, do you brainstorm those ideas? Do you put a data-driven approach to it? Like, what?
Yeah. It's a combination of both. So I've used in the past, I used to use Follower Wonk a lot. I don't know if it's still available. I think it might be. So what you can do with that is you can look at like different, like who's following the same accounts. So you can see if a decent portion of people are following realtor.com as well as following, I don't know, Oprah. And if they are, you can be like, oh, a lot of people who are following Realtor are following Oprah. There's a synergy here. And you can also do the same thing with media sites. So if I know that I'm trying to target marketers and I have two pitches coming at me from two different media sites, I can see which of those audiences are more aligned and closer aligned to who I actually want to connect with by seeing that overlap. So it's that Venn diagram, really. So Follower Wonk's one great tool. There's one tool called Affinio, which is a little bit pricey, but they have a great service. It's definitely an enterprise brand, but you can use that as well. So there's not a lot out there that kind of make it easy. Have you used any tools recently that you've kind of seen?
I haven't. Often what I'll do is I have more when it comes to topics, not necessarily like people brands, but topics. Yeah. So actually like Quora just launched their advertising platform. And so if you say like, you know, I want to target small businesses, it'll also just like similar to Facebook, it'll also tell you like, oh, you should also, you know, you should also think about targeting like real estate agents and you know, investors and, you know, and that sort of thing. Facebook is a little bit better if you go and, you know, start creating an ad, right? Or you're actually creating an ad.
Yeah, I've used that.
Yep. And then that'll also flag up, you know, people, right? So if I'm targeting like, you know, SEO agencies also tell me like target, you know, people are interested in content marketing and, you know, and that sort of thing. And then it kind of expands out and you can see like what the overlap is there, right?
Yeah,
so that might be a small, like 2,000 people, but if you only need 20, right, to sign up,
you're set. Yeah.
You're set, right?
Exactly.
So that can definitely be a good start there. And that's what I've done in the past.
Yeah, that's a good call. I forget about Facebook audience insights as well. You can go in, you can be very niche and specific with who it is you want to connect with. You can say, I want to target moms who are interested in Mad Men. And then you can get data that says none of them are watching it or a good portion is. You can get a lot of insights from there. You can also plug in geographic information into audience insights, and they'll spit back data to you that is very relevant to you. So if I was to go in and type in Denver, it would tell me a lot of people in Denver like the Denver Nuggets. A lot of people in Denver follow this media site or this politician. Yeah. And then that again provides you with some insights around where you should be, who you should be connecting to, and how you can tell your story on these other media channels as well.
Totally, totally. One thing I've done there in the past is take like, you know, if you type in Denver and you'll see that a lot of people like craft beer, then go to someone like the beer sites, and then basically like copy that content and throw it into like Wordle or something like that. And then it basically flags up like this is the kind of like these are the words that people are most often using, right?
That's cool.
So then you can speak like in their language if you're writing something around that.
That's awesome. I like that.
I've never done that, but
I'm definitely going to steal that one.
Yeah, it's that one's free.
I like it.
That one I've definitely seen that work when I've worked in industries. I'm like I have no idea like what this you know what this is. So it sounds like the main things are like, I mean, as I said, like, you know, thinking creatively about, you know, your industry and not just like, you know, how do I just find the people that are, you know, looking to buy a house right now, but what are people that are likely to be looking to buy a house right now also interested in? What do they care about? Identifying like how big that potential audience may be, finding a couple main sites and seeing like, you know, what kind of content they're sharing so you can reproduce that. And then probably also, you know, going and doing a bit of like heavy research, right? Like what's on Quora? Like, are people there? Are they on Stack Overflow? Are they on Reddit? And then reverse engineering what's worked there and putting your own spin on
it. Yeah. And you can also leverage some, like the big sites also provide us with a lot of great information. So if you think about like, I think it's called Think with Google, they provide like reports on what food trends are happening, what tech trends are happening, what people in the fashion industry is happening. I seen a report a few months back where they were saying like the search results and the amount of search volume for turmeric is through the roof and everybody's going crazy over turmeric. So you can find a lot of these interesting reports to guide some of your approach as well. So if Google's putting out this food report every year and you're in the food industry, you should be probably reading it and understanding, okay, maybe we need to double down on turmeric. Okay, nobody's interested in tofu anymore. They're all interested in tempeh. Like you can make some decisions around like your business and where you go with things based off of some of those reports. So I like to spend a lot of time looking at like research reports, journals even, and kind of getting an understanding from other people who are doing research to kind of guide my approach as well. Because you would be surprised. Like I saw another piece that said essentially that a lot of millennial parents are relying on YouTube to learn how to like swaddle their babies and how to do things with their kids rather than using like their parents or going to a course, going to a class. They're using YouTube, which is a complete shift in the way things used to be done. Right. So when you can understand those types of insights, it's like, okay, if you're targeting parents, get on YouTube and start creating videos about how to hold your baby, how to rock your baby, how to make sure that your kid doesn't get SIDS or whatever that may be. Like those are the types of things that the millennial parents are looking for. So if that's your audience, get on YouTube and start creating it.
Interesting. So for you, like with your own products, right? Hustle and Grind and Crate, like you're targeting entrepreneurs, like a big topic and like an increasingly trending topic is like nomadism. Right. And like location independence.
Yep.
So like that's the kind of thing that, you know, that you could talk about as well.
Exactly. And then find those communities where the nomads are spending time and seed them with value. So one of the greatest ways of adding value is to show people that it's something that you have done. Mm-hmm. So, for example, all of my companies, we all run remote. We don't have an office. People who are in the nomad space are very intrigued by this idea. Like we love the idea of being remote. So if I put together a blog post and it's like how I'm managing a team remotely, they're going to find value in it and they're going to be interested in buying coffee from Hustle and Grind, which can be sent anywhere. They'll use Crate because they can automate their Twitter account all day. They'll leverage those tools and they'll look at me as an expert because I added value to their communities. But that's spot
on. Totally. No, that absolutely makes sense. That has me thinking about like, you know, who are the people that are, you know, influencers like in the, you know, in the marketing space or that a lot of marketers tend to follow.
Right.
And then like kind of going, you know, and then who else do they follow there? And then like, where's the intersection of, you know, like medium level people and, you know, and sites and all that. Like, who are the sites that are, one time in the past, I did this was a couple of years ago, I was doing backlink analysis, but I was basically like targeting like the marketing world and was like, who is linked to Tim Ferriss's blog?
Right.
So, like who's targeting Tim Ferriss? Or who's in Tim Ferriss's audience, and then like going and basically reaching out to them
because
they're writing about the same stuff,
right?
And that was a links approach, but you know, there's also different tools you can use for like audience sizes and all that.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Cool, I like it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Russ, I want to be respectful of your time, so thank you for taking the time to chat with us about, you know, communities and coming up with new content ideas, and then actually seeing value from those, you know, from those communities in a, you know, and providing value to those communities, I think is the bigger thing, right? Like do that first and then you get the value from it. So where can people find you online, and where are you speaking next? You're all over the place.
I am all over the place. So I think my next one that's lined up is Search Love London. So I'm going to make a trip over the Big Lake and head over to London. So I'm going to be doing that. But everybody can find me at rossimmons.com. That's definitely the easiest place to kind of learn about Crate, learn about Hustle and Grind, learn about my consulting work, but also learn about the public speaking side of things as well. I share a lot of information on the content marketing side, entrepreneurship side, try to be as transparent as possible with everything going on, and deliver value like we talked about this entire time. And on Twitter, very easy to find, at the coolest cool. Created the Twitter handle while I was in university, so please don't judge. But happy to connect with people on any channel at any time. And John, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate you reaching out, and hopefully we can grab another old fashioned sometime soon.
Absolutely, that's the plan. Thanks for being on, Ross. Everyone, find Ross, as he said, at rossimmons.com. Twitter.com/thecoolestcool. And we'll put all of the different tools that he referenced in the show notes for this show as well. So Ross, thank you, and take care up there in Canada.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Alrighty.